Well, as I said, we're taking the journey of faith. We're learning together from God's word in the book of Habakkuk. And this morning, as we come once again to the scriptures, I want to ask you a question. Are you a worm or an eagle? A worm or an eagle? Where do you fit? How do you see yourself? I mean, when stuff happens, are you a victim of the stuff, or are you able to stand above the circumstances? Are you a prisoner to what is happening, or are you able to stand in freedom as the hurricane, as it were, hits? Are you a worm under it, or an eagle that is above it? Isaiah draws our attention to something of this. We read in Isaiah chapter 40, and let me read from the Message paraphrase. Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath, and he knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Habakkuk, in his journey of faith, is becoming like an eagle. He is learning, as his name implies, to embrace God, to put it in the language of Isaiah, to wait upon God. That's where we left him last week. So if you have your Bibles, let's once again open them. Habakkuk chapter 2, and we will actually complete the sentence, unlike Kenneth. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. We left Habakkuk last week taking some deliberate actions. I will stand. And you can almost see it in the drama of the text. Habakkuk takes himself away from the mire of all that he's in. He takes himself away from his own questions and he goes to the watchtower to look in a different direction. I love the way Martin Lloyd-Jones expresses it. We have to extricate ourselves deliberately, to haul ourselves out of it, as it were, to detach ourselves from it altogether, and then take our stand looking to God, not at the problem. Sitting behind all that we are seeing in Habakkuk's journey of faith is an assumption. Now, assumptions are scary. I'm sure you've heard this expression, because Assumptions can make asses out of you and me. That's the danger with assumptions. But sitting behind all that we've seen so far is an assumption. It's this. The God of the Bible speaks. Now, I don't know what your perception of God is. I appreciated Carl's language. I believed in God, up there, long way up there. Yes, I believed in Jesus, long way up there. But the God of the Bible speaks. That's the assumption we see here. And indeed, yes, God speaks, and I need to hear what he's got to say. And so we find Habakkuk looking to see what he will say to me. That's quite a posture. I will look to see what he will say to me. You see, Habakkuk expects to hear from God. That's his expectation. You know, you sometimes write to a friend, send an email to a friend, and you get disappointed because you don't get a reply. You send the email with the expectation that you will receive a reply. Habakkuk expects to hear from God. God isn't a long way up there for him. He speaks. God's not a statue for him. He's alive. He's speaking. Now, what we need to understand that this isn't an isolated incident. I mean, if someone just walked up to you and said, oh, God's been speaking to me, I mean, you know, and out of the blue, and you go, oh, okay, that's interesting. You kind of might back away from it and going, what's going on here? But as you open the pages of the Bible, you discover very quickly that one of the major themes of the Bible is that God speaks. I mean, we see it from the get-go, from the outset, Genesis chapter 1. God said, God said, God said, God said. The repetition is overwhelming. You can't escape it. You might have a view of God, but you cannot escape the fact that the Bible's view of God is that God speaks. I mean, Genesis chapter 4, it's not just an isolated incident in chapter 1. We you know, God's created the heavens and the earth. He's created people. People exist in the world. Adam and Eve had children. Cain and Abel are born. And this is horrendous thing developing in the life of Cain and Abel. You can read it for yourself in Genesis chapter 4. But notice verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain. Verse 9, then the Lord said. Verse 10, the Lord said. Verse 15, but the Lord said to him. We see it in the Psalms. Psalm 19 is a classic psalm. Read it for yourself. That the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens speak. God is speaking to us. The law of the Lord, the word of God is precious, more precious than honeycomb. It's sweet to our taste. God is speaking. We see it all the time. As we turn to the pages of the New Testament, I mean, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And the whole idea, this the Greek word that is translated in our English Bible's word, carries the idea that the thought has been expressed. See, now, I can have a thought. Now, I can be standing here right now having a thought. And I can be thinking something about you. But you actually don't know what I'm thinking about you until I open my mouth and express it. Communicate it in some way. And here at the outset of John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word, the very thought of God, the very expressed understanding of God. And as we read through the gospel of John, we see it clearly. Jesus opening his mouth and declaring himself to be God and speaking the very words of God. John chapter 14, verse 10, for example. Jesus says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Jesus, the Word of God, speaking the Word of God. Yes, God speaks. That's the assumption. And what's more, as we look at the example of Habakkuk, we see him putting himself in a place where he could hear God. I mean, ours, and particularly in the West, is an instant world. We have an intolerance of things not happening in the next 30 seconds. Our attention spans are, you know, what, 2 minutes? I mean, some of you have gone already. Come back. But not so with Habakkuk. I will look to see. He's being incredibly intentional, deliberate. You see, it's one thing to believe that God speaks, and it's one thing to want to hear from God. It's a totally different thing to go out of your way and purposefully listen to him. What we've been seeing, and we see it yet again, is that the journey of faith involves intentional steps on our part. In the same way that we need to deliberately take ourselves away from the situation, we need to deliberately put ourselves in a place where we can hear God speak. But why? Why do it? Why does Habakkuk want to hear from God? Well, indeed, because what God says is true and dependable. It is life-giving. Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 63. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. God's word is life-giving. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the word. Sorry, that's John chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And God said, and what's the rest of the sequence? And it was so. Through the power of God's word, he brought into being all that we see and experience around about us in the world, the universe, and life. God brought it into being by the power of his word. God's word, when God speaks, it is life-giving. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. As a parent of grandchildren, I can now be very philosophic about my parenting. And at some points along the way, we think we might have succeeded, and at other points along the way, we think, that wasn't real clever. Every now and again, I got really excited because our children did what I asked them to do. But they didn't always. You see, my word actually returned empty. It didn't achieve what I always wanted it to achieve. But the truth of what we're reading here in the Bible is that when God speaks, it is a life-giving word. It achieves what God intended it to achieve. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is alive and active. There's something you and I need to think about as we sort of think about this whole theme that's emerging here. Because we've suddenly arrived at an interesting point. I mean, okay, if God speaks and I need to hear what he says because what he says is life-giving, how do I hear him? I mean, that's a crucial question. How do I hear God? How does God speak today? Now, in the next little while, we are going to do the impossible. And the best way to do this will be for you to take out your bulletin. And would someone like to grab the pens that are at the back there? Thanks, Adrian. If you don't have a pen, you're going to have to work right now, because you will need to take this stuff home with you and think about it. So on the back of your bulletin is a copyrighted chart. And it's called the Hierarchy of Revelation. So don't blame anyone else for this but me, and I hope we can talk about this more. And so if you don't have a bulletin or don't have a pen, just put your hand up and Adrian will help you out. But I want us to think this morning about how does God speak today? And the reason why we need to think about that is because we discover in the Bible that God speaks and that indeed God's word is living, powerful and active, life-giving. So it makes sense that we hear from God. Now, a hierarchy, you understand that word? There's, you know, level one, okay, level two, level three, level four. That's a hierarchy. So we will start at the bottom and work our way up. And I'm talking this morning about a hierarchy of revelation. The word revelation in the Bible means uncovering, something that was hidden that has been uncovered. And God reveals himself. We didn't discover God. God made himself known to us. And so the notion that God speaks, embedded in this, is that God wants to reveal himself. So we're talking about the hierarchy, moving our way from bottom to the top of revelation, of God uncovering himself, making himself known. And I want to start at the bottom, and oh yep, I hope your eyes, use the chart on the back, I think it'll be clearer. I want to start with what I'm going to call voice, and I want to use that language intentionally because that language is used a lot in a lot of modern teaching and modern books and stuff like that, and it becomes very confusing to us. But the whole idea that we're encountering here in Habakkuk chapter 2 is that God and Habakkuk are having a conversation, and that in some way, not explained to us, in some way Habakkuk is hearing God. Hearing God's voice. We read in other places in the Old Testament where the still small voice of God. And so I use that word impression. I mean, at best, you know, someone, when they use the language, you know, oh, God's been speaking to me, at best they can say, oh, look, I've got an impression. I've got an idea. I think maybe God's saying something. We read in the scriptures that the creation reveals the glory of God. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of being on the beach at sunrise. I'm a sunrise person. I just love being at the beach on a sunrise and watching the sun come up. And it just, you go, it blows me away. And I go, how can you not believe in God? I've been at the birth of our four children. How can you not believe in God? Just seeing the wonder and the glory of creation, and it's speaking into our lives. And I go, yeah, God is this, God is that. I learn stuff from it. Oftentimes in the midst of circumstances, and we see this through the scriptures, and I've got lots of references there, how circumstances at work in our lives, and we go, oh, maybe God's saying something. Have you ever heard that sort of language? This happened, that happened, this happened. Oh, maybe God's saying something. Or you're reading the Bible. This is the best one for me. And this is really helpful. It's helpful to me. I hope it's helpful to you. Understand something. We read the Bible in different ways. And I have intentionally put devotional reading of the Bible under this voice category. Because you know how someone has been, I've been reading the Bible and a verse just leapt off the page and God told me to do this. And you go back and pick up that passage and read it and you go, what? That happens to me all the time. You say, man, God spoke to me through your message. And I go, hang on, I didn't talk about that. You know, and people, they'll be devotionally reading. We had friends once. This was the classic. None of you know them. Anyway, we'll go on with the story. They went away on holidays with a tent. And they came back from holidays with a caravan. And I said, oh, you got a caravan. Great. And they said, yep, the Lord told us to buy a caravan. I said, how did he do that? Well, we were reading the scriptures and the Lord, I was reading, enlarge your tent. And I said, you've got it wrong. You're supposed to get a bigger tent. But for them, that was real. Now, there's that sense, that devotional sense of God speaking to us. And we use that language. And look, we as elders, let me say this. We as elders of your church, as we met together as the United Elders, we really wrestled through this stuff concerning the property. How do we know God is leading us? What direction should we go? How does God speak? And look, as you read through Acts, I mean, that blows me away constantly. You read through Acts and underline every time God said something to someone. And you know the really frustrating part of that? We're not told how it happened. No one tells us how it happened, was it, you know? But then in the Old Testament, God used a donkey to talk to someone. So there's this sense that God speaks and speaks into our lives, speaks to me personally. And we recognize that in Scripture, and indeed we recognize that the God of the Bible is the God who speaks. And so look at the references, but we need to think through, okay, well, what principle? How do I respond to that? That's what I mean by the principle. What should be my way of dealing with that? Well, the way we should deal with it is expectantly and humbly. Yes, God speaks. And I shouldn't be surprised that God speaks. But nevertheless, I need to be humble because I'm just a person. And which leads us right into the danger, because I'm a person who can get it wrong. And so the danger is of individualism and subjectivity. And remember, I'm talking about a hierarchy. This is the real danger. Okay, I am thinking God's saying something to me and I can elevate it above everything else. But no, it's at the bottom row of the hierarchy. So we need to be really careful here. Subjective is, you know, look, God's saying this to me and you know, but let's be honest here. We can get it wrong. We're fallible human beings. Indeed, we need to apply, therefore, a safety net. And we need to always apply our mind. And, you know, as Jesus taught us, to love the Lord our God with our minds. To think, to apply, and we'll come back to that in a few moments. Well, the next rung up the hierarchy is what I'm calling community. It's people, the giftings of the Spirit. Now, I love to come together on Sunday morning to a public worship gathering. I love to meet together with God's people because we are the people of God. We are a community. God has given us to each other. And I love to worship God corporately together. But equally, I come with the expectation that on a Sunday morning when we come together and someone shares something, we sing a song, we open the word and someone preaches, that God will speak to me. And I hope you come with that expectation. A lot of people come and say, oh, church, how was church? Oh, it wasn't very good this morning. Why wasn't it very good? Oh, we didn't sing my favourite songs. Oh, okay, that's good. Oh, the preaching was terrible, blah, 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 blah. He did blah, 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 blah. And I said, you know, I often say, okay, all that is possible. But what did God say to you? Oh, I don't know, nothing. And I said, well, why did you come? Because God wants to speak to us. And I hope you come with that expectation. Why does God give different gifts to the church? So we can hear from Him. So what's the principle here? We recognize that we are part of a community, and as part of a community, God speaks. But indeed, if we are to hear God, we need to be with people you trust. That's crucial. And just because someone comes from, you know, that you've never met before, and oh man, this really scares the daylights. Oh, God's told me this about you. Oh, that's good. Well, let's, thank you. My response to that sort of stuff is thank you. Well, we will see. Because the scriptures tell us that the prophets are subject to the prophets. Again, we can get it wrong. Why do we have the New Testament? Because there was error. There was wrong teaching. The community needs to be responsive within it. And we need to weigh stuff up. We need to say, well, that's an interesting idea. I need to subject myself as the pastor of this church to the elders of this church. And I say constantly, guys, how's it going? Am I off with the fairies? You need to hold me accountable. What am I preaching? None of us are above. You know, I'm the king and I know everything. None of us are there. We're part of a community. But we exist within a community where we can hear God speak. Therefore, we need to be with people we can trust. Brothers and sisters with whom we are journeying together. That is a crucial reason why you need to belong to a church. Because God wants to speak into our lives. And it's easy as anything for me to go off and be on my own and come up with all these sorts of things and just get on with it. But it's a totally different thing to come up with all these ideas and brother or sister so-and-so says, well, you know, I'm not sure that's a really good thing. Look, I know you, Kevin, and I'm not convinced that's where you should go. You need to, and you need to wrestle it through. That's a gift, friends. We are a gift to each other, to encourage, to disciple, to support, to question. The danger column, and look, there are others we could put in the danger, and you probably can add more, and please do that. And if you have some other ideas, flick them to me, and I'll add it to the list. But the danger is what I want to call authoritarian control, and it could be simply because I've seen a lot of this across over the years, and that's probably why I put it there. But the danger is me coming up to you and said, God's told me. Now, I am the pastor of the English congregation. Because of the gifting and role and responsibility I have, then I have a position of authority. And it's easy for me in the church to adopt an authoritarian control attitude and walk up to you and say, and now you're hearing the pastor say to you, and I say something like, God's told me you need to do this. You know, there's an interesting thing in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus always, yes, he commanded people, he told people to do things, but he always left the choice up to them. They never lost control of their own lives. It was always a free choice whether they followed him or not. And the danger of the community is that we adopt this position of authoritarian control, or we adopt the position, God's given me a gift and therefore you've got to make room for that gift, and because I've got a gift and every time I open my mouth it's God's word. Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. What's the safety net? is love. Why is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 between 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14? Because it's the safety net. Chapter 12, chapter 14, it's all about excesses in the church, charismatic excesses in the church. And Paul is saying, look, the way through all that stuff is not to silence it, not to obliterate it, but is to create a safe working environment, an environment of love, where we see our neighbour as ourselves. The greatest need we have in the church is to love one another. Is to, in everything I do, everything I think about you, every action I do is driven by, I'm seeing you as my neighbour, seeing you as myself. I'm driven by love for you. Now, great, it worked. We're moving up the hierarchy, and I like the fact that the top rung of the hierarchy is pushing the bottom ones down and out of sight. Now, that kind of just happened. It wasn't intended to do that. It happened because I couldn't fit it on the screen, but I saw God speaking to us through that. Yes, we see instances in the Bible where God speaks. We see to individuals. We see instances in the Bible where God speaks through the community. But both these are subject to the reality of Scripture. What's at the top of the hierarchy of revelation? Scripture. God's Word written. All Scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God, without dispute. At this point, it's really helpful to know a bit of church history. Why do we have the Bible? Why do we have it? Because in the journey of the people of God, okay, you had Jesus. Jesus came, and Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures. Everything that was said in the past, Jesus said, have been fulfilled in me. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. God spoke, and it reaches its climax in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In many and varied ways in the past, God has spoken in the past. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. The climax is in Jesus. And God, Jesus appointed apostles, the disciples who were with him, the 12. And why were they there? Because they were declaring the teaching of Jesus. And for example, in 2 Corinthians, as the church unfolds, you've got people saying, I'm an apostle, I'm bringing the real teaching of Jesus. And Paul is saying, no, you're not. He's defending his authority, his apostleship, as a voice of the very words of Jesus. Well, as the apostles died out, can you imagine how rampant it became? People popping up all over the place. I've got the real teaching about Jesus. No, I've got the real teaching about Jesus. And it was popping up everywhere. Why do we have the Bible? Because the church said, hang on, this is out of control. What is the authoritative voice of God? What is the very words of Jesus? And as they wrestled together, out of it all came the New Testament. Didn't happen overnight, but it came out to say, this is God's word. God's word written. We want you to confidently know that these are the words of Jesus, the authoritative word of God. Yes, all scripture is God-breathed. And so what's the principle when we come to scripture? Well, we need to apply interpretive frameworks. Now, this is huge, and we'll talk more about this in some workshops in the year ahead. But just very quickly, don't be Old Testament when you open the Bible. You know what I mean by that? In the Old Testament Jews were rule keepers. So they were reading the Bible to work out the rules. How do I please God? Well, I work out the rule, then I keep it. But with the coming of Jesus, the whole new dimension started. And we need to read the scriptures through, you know, like I've got two eyes and two lenses in my glasses. Well, the lenses are the gospel and the spirit. God, as I said before, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. We need to read the scriptures through the lens of Jesus, through all that God has done in and through the person of Jesus. We need to read the scriptures through the understanding that God, the Holy Spirit, lives within us and is at work within us and is conforming us. It's not about keeping the rules. Yes, it's about obeying the word of God, but it's about applying the interpretive framework of gospel and spirit. It's looking for the rule, not the exception. I don't know why people do this with the Bible. Why do people find the most obscure verse that's mentioned once and then write 50,000 volumes on it as if it's important? And build a whole theology on an obscure verse. We need to be careful of obscure aspects of the Bible. We need to welcome and honestly say, gee, I don't understand what that says. That's okay. I don't understand. That's okay. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who was being interviewed once by a journalist who said something like, Mr. Lincoln, doesn't the contradictions... don't the contradictions worry you? Sorry, do not the contradictions, and that's an assumption because there aren't any contradictions, but don't the contradictions in the Bible worry you? What Abraham Lincoln said, what worries me about the Bible is what I understand. Get it? What worries me about the Bible is what I understand. As we open the scriptures, just be willing to say, I don't understand that, but God, teach me. But Lord, I'm just going to grab hold of what you want me to understand. The real danger for us when it comes to Scripture, putting Scripture at the top of the rung of our hierarchy, is that we can fall into what I call cold orthodoxy. You know, you're just cold as we're keeping the Word of God here. And it's all about the rules and it's cold and there's no life. But man, we're ticking all the boxes and we're doing the right thing. But the safety net is heart and soul. You know, we need to be, and the best way to read your Bible, friends, is on your knees with your mind. On your knees, humbly acknowledging that I don't understand everything. God, you are God, but I trust you, Holy Spirit, to lead me and to teach me. And I'm reading the scriptures and I'm humbly hearing it and learning the principles, learning the general, the greater truth of scripture, not just getting caught up in the obscure things. As I said, that was crazy. You might have understood some of that. That's great. If you did, just grab hold of it. If you have questions, come back to me. If you've got additions, throw them my way. Let's build on this. But and through the year, we'll build on it further. But my point in just sharing this is we hear this language all the time. God speaks. And we don't need to be threatened by it. Oh, I don't know if God speaks to me. Oh, I need to go off to a school of the prophets so I can hear God and learn how God speaks. You don't have to. Let's remember the hierarchy here. What do I need to really concentrate on? Learning scripture. Because if scripture is at the top of the tree, yep, God can speak to me individually. I have no doubt of that. Yes, God can speak. He's given gifts to his church. And yes, prophets existed. And God can do all that stuff. Absolutely. But if the top of the tree is God's word written, then I need to focus on that. That's where I need to put my energy. That's what I need to build into my life, into the certainty of Scripture. That's what God was saying to Habakkuk, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. God speaking to Habakkuk, speaking to us, is saying, my word is infallible, indestructible, and dependable. It will come and it will happen. A.W. Tozer put it this way. None of us can expect to get rich, transforming blessings from God apart from the Scriptures. You want to grow? You want to face the stuff? It's only in the Scriptures. I don't know how many of you are friends with Thomas Kong. Thomas isn't here this morning, I don't think. He is. It's in the public domain, brother. It's on Facebook, so I'm quoting it. I don't know if you're a Facebook friend with Thomas. But Thomas posted something in the early hours, must have been the early hours of this morning. Thomas's status. Feeling wonderful. Thankful for God's words spoken by Jesus, recorded in the Bible, which guide me more as I read, meditate, and pray about it. In areas lately about love in my marriage, brotherly and sisterly relationships in Christ, and to have a life of joy. God is good. That's a pretty good status. Thank you, brother, for sharing that with us. Because that's the point. Yes, God speaks, but let's build our lives on the authoritative word of God. And so we're back to where we started. In your journey of faith, which is it? Worm or eagle? The crucial moment that makes the difference comes when you force yourself to be still and open God's word, to hear from God. And in saying that, I'm not suggesting to frantically open the Bible to find the solution to your problem. No. Simply open the Bible to see God, to discover the glory, the majesty, the beauty of God himself. Those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Let's pray together. Father, yes, indeed, we count it a privilege to be able to worship you. And God, we worship you as the living God, the God who speaks. And Lord, as your people in this place, we say, yes, Lord, we want to hear your voice. And Lord, we know that you speak in all sorts of different ways, but we thank you, God, for the Scriptures. Your word, God's word written, your authoritative word. Thank you, Lord, that we can confidently open the Scriptures and know that you, God, want us to understand you. You've made yourself known. And Lord, I pray that you by your Spirit would ignite in all of us a renewed passion to hear your voice. And indeed, a renewed passion for your word. To hunger after you. To hunger after your word. And indeed, God, that you would, day by day, give us joy and delight in your word as we learn of you. So God, yep, we recognize that the world is an uncertain place, full of turmoil. But God, we worship you and rest in you. And so, like Habakkuk, we embrace you. In Jesus' name, amen.